The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have so much to get to over in about the next 30, 40 minutes, however long we decide to go on this. We have John Wilner, the Wilner Hotline, all things around Pac-12 as we get ready for an enormous game with the Sun Devils taking on BYU. John will be with us. I've got a lot to get to with the Cardinals. It's great to be back here on a first weekend where everything happened. Friday night, I was out at a high school game. Saturday was nothing but college football. And yesterday was nothing but NFL. And tonight, I got to decide if I'm going to take in some of the Eli Payton broadcasts. I'll explain that here in a minute around Monday Night Football. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Ted Lasso was really good this week, like really good. And so I did that. I had tickets to Hamilton. And at the last moment, I decided to send my daughter and my wife to go see Hamilton last night at Gamage. And some of you are like, are you kidding me? You passed on watching Hamilton. I had to watch Rams Bears. Tomorrow, Fabiano is going to get crushed tomorrow. So Michael Fabiano, who does knows all, tells all around fantasy football, said there's this one player that you have to pick up. And I'm not going to sit here every week and talk about my fantasy football team because I don't think most of you care. But I will say this. Last night, I passed on Hamilton for this one player. And this one player just crushed me. And so Fabs is just going to get it tomorrow. Let's start with the Cardinals. So the Cardinals sent me over this note this morning, or actually sent out to everybody. And I'll just read it to you. The 38-13 victory over the Titans plus 25 represents the team's largest point differential in a week one game since a 27-point 34-7 victory at Dallas in, what do you think? 9-14-63. I wasn't even born yet. The Cardinals' fourth largest week one win in franchise history, their second biggest week one road game in the team's history. So you have to go all the way back. When they start sending me notes that have 1949, 1959, 1963, and then 2021, yesterday winning by 25, that's where we were yesterday. Remember, the Cardinals were a three-point underdog in this game. And from the opening kick, they were so much better than Tennessee. And here's the thing about all this. Week one, week two, the month of September for NFL football is not very good anymore. That first quarter was so hard to watch. It was. Even with the Cardinals winning, it was nothing but a comedy of errors. Who's it? Aaron Taylor doing the color on CBS. I thought he did a nice job in the commentary chair. Refer to the Cardinals as Keystone Cops. And they were in the first quarter. But you know what? I am willing to take some bad football in the week one, week two of the regular season where it actually matters than sitting there saying, well, boy, man, that first game. Because, yeah, the Cardinals did not play their starting offense except for eight plays in August. And that's fine. That's eight plays too many in my book. So I know there's this, well, they didn't play well to start the game. I am fine with that because it is a long ass season. There's no other way to put it. And so to go through some growing pains when it matters and when players should be going all out versus fake stuff in August, get rid of the fake stuff in August. And if it becomes more and more of a problem, I'm okay with that because the players in terms of September football, I'm okay with some sloppy football. If you're going to, you can't have it both ways. There's not a chance that a football team can show up if they haven't been out on the field. There's not a chance that they can show up and not have some moments where things aren't great early, where things get fixed, where teams figure it out, where players, this guy's got to go. If he's still there as our left tackle, it's going to be a bad season. All that stuff, player evaluations, not knowing the entire playbook. Rondale Moore doesn't know the entire playbook, and we're here in week one of the season. I'm fine with that because guess what? He's got until the end of January or middle of January before they go to the playoffs. And so as I watched them play yesterday, it was in the back of my mind, like, yeah, this is really sloppy, but people have to understand the starters weren't out on the field, and they should have been on the field in August. You just get rid of August altogether and make September. It's not going to be as desirable. But you know what? When you get to the end of October, you're not going to remember week one. You're not. You know, in the NFL, you can lose a game. Like, Green Bay looked awful yesterday. just awful. Do I think that they are going to go out and not win a game this year? No. You know, who else looked bad yesterday? Buffalo didn't look great, and the Steelers did. It's a very competitive game. Maybe Jacksonville is going to be this bad all season long. I don't think the Texans and Tyrod are going to be there towards the end of the year. I don't. It's just the matchup of week one. Is Atlanta as bad as they looked? They might be. So you can go around to all these teams and say, you know, did New England make the right move in cutting loose Cam Newton? And I would say absolutely. What Mac Jones looks like in week one is not what he's going to look like late in the season. I think he'll get better. You know, for all the consternation about rotating quarterbacks, what did we see in San Francisco? We saw Garoppolo and we saw Trey Lance. What did we see in Chicago? We saw Justin Fields. I don't think we saw enough Justin Fields, in my humble opinion, watching the game. But I thought for a first week of the season, yeah, there were some surprising outcomes. The Cardinals was a surprising outcome. They weren't even favored. That's a team. I was listening to Fitz the other day, and he's doing a show with Jim Gray and Tom Brady over on Sirius. And it's fine. He's not on the field. The Cardinals are fine without Larry Fitzgerald, believe it or not. Life does go on. It's the way of the world. But Fitz picked the Tennessee Titans as his team to be in the Super Bowl this year. Just point blank said they're the team. That's the AFC representative. I don't think he's going to sit there after week one and say, man, that team is awful. They're not going to win anything this year. Long season, 17 weeks. So this is Overreaction Monday. It is. The first week of the season, second week of the college campaign, this is Overreaction Monday. It's overreaction in betting. It's overreaction on fantasy football. It's overreaction on games. It's a very good win for the Cardinals. In this market, I don't think you cannot help but overreact a little bit because this team hasn't been to the playoffs in so long. And there's no question the coach is in jeopardy. And all the questions about Kyler, and the two are tied together. Kyler Murray yesterday was as good as any quarterback in the NFL. He made things happen on the field yesterday and keeping plays alive that you're just not going to see from anybody else. He made an over-the-shoulder throw to Christian Kirk off his back foot that you're just not going to see. He was phenomenal on all fronts. But the story of yesterday was Chandler Jones. So Chandler Jones' contract's kind of interesting. I was texting some people as the game was progressing that are in his circle, and they didn't want to say anything about what they were seeing because we all saw what was going on. 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, contract number not where it should be in his view. Doesn't want to talk to the media yesterday. Ooh, not going to talk. Ooh. Just do what you do on the field. Talk how you want to talk. I saw where Cam Cox got a photo on the sideline of Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell talking to Chandler. I can only imagine what that conversation was like. It's like, hey, man, you know, let's research. No, I'm here to play football. I would think that if the owner and the GM came to him yesterday afternoon in game one and was it tail between legs or was it, hey, buddy, how's it going? That there would be I'll talk about this. Obviously, today, Steve Keim should walk up to the podium before Cliff talks to the media and says, we've agreed in principle on a new deal for Chandler Jones. We're going to put this behind us. And Chandler should come up and say something. I don't think that's going to happen here. Could be wrong. It's the right thing to do. If I'm Chandler Jones, like, you know what, guys? I'm just going to go do my thing this year. And if you're going to be like this, there's a lot more to that story. This is some of the other notes that I wrote down yesterday. I wrote down, you know, see Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore. Christian Kirk, there were people, have been people saying, when is he going to come into his own? And I'm not going to sit here and blame Christian Kirk for what's happened in the past. Fitz was here last year. Larry's production wasn't what, and if Larry's proud dude, proud guy. I've known Larry as a player. I don't know him as a person. I've just covered him as a player through all these years. As proud as anybody. And yesterday the Cardinals were just fine without him. And maybe there is a sense of relief of not having the guy that's over in the corner that's been the alpha male for all these years. It's not here anymore, whose production is starting to decline. It happens. It's not a shot at Larry. It just happens. Tom Brady is an anomaly. Larry had a tremendous run here. And Larry still may help out. I still believe what's going to happen with Larry. And I'm probably going to have Larry Fitzgerald Sr. on the show tomorrow, talk about the Vikings and Larry. But what's going to happen with Larry is he's going to sit out. He's going to do this weekly show with Tom Brady and Jim Gray. And then there's going to be an injury at wide receiver for a team that's got a shot. And if it happens right now, he won't do it. If it happens in November, Thanksgiving, 1st of December, he'll do it. That's what I think is going to happen. He's just kind of sitting out. He has never said that he signed his paperwork. Yesterday, the Cardinals clearly didn't need him. Life moves on in pro sports. There'll be a time where LeBron James is not on the floor anymore for the Los Angeles Lakers. There'll probably be a time where Devin Booker decides as a free agent to go play elsewhere, because that's how it works in professional sports. Guys don't stay, don't start and finish with the same team. Steve Nash, go right through it. Guys here in the Valley do not start and finish with the same team. No, J.J. Watt. There's been some comments that J.J. Watt could be the Emmitt Smith present day. You know, come to Arizona, play some golf, get some stats, and call it a day. J.J. Watt was really productive yesterday. You know, to see players getting some recognition that we have not seen out of this team on the defensive side of the football, outside of J.J. Watt. You know, Corey Peters was a guy that was cut. They weren't sure if he was going to come. He wasn't sure he was going to come back. Comes back. Makes play. Your draft picks made plays yesterday. For 1 week, we can say that Zaven Collins was on the field and around the football, and Rondale Moore made some things happen. Okay, that's two draft picks of Steve Keim this year. Very early, I understand, but for at least the first game of the season, and to come out and just trash Tennessee like they did, that's impressive. So now you have Minnesota coming here. We'll focus in on Minnesota this week. Minnesota, a 4-point underdog to the Cardinals. Obviously, the storyline this week will be Patrick Peterson coming back here. That's going to be what most people talk about. And the Vikings end up losing to Cincinnati. They're going to come in here 0-1. Their quarterback has been in this space of, I'm not going to get vaccinated, how the team has handled that. There's been a lot of stuff swirling around the Vikings. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this Sunday's game. But for today, it is not overreaction Sunday to get all over the Cardinals in a good way and say, look at this. This is a good story. We like this, in particular with how lousy the baseball season went. And the Suns finished up in a disappointing losing the finals back in July. We haven't had anything here to look forward to in 6 weeks. It's a big week for Arizona State. I think the Sun Devils game at BYU is one of the top 3-4 games nationally. On the other side, John Wilner, the Wilner Hotline. We get into Oregon taking apart Ohio State. And why is Mario Cristobal sitting there without a contract backed up today from Phil Knight saying you're going to stay here for life with as bad as Miami has been? And, of course, he's a hurricane. So we've got to get into all the things around the Pac-12 and just the awful showing by U of A and Jed Fish's squad. We'll do that with John Wilner and the Wilner Hotline next. All right, as promised, John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, must read, must content, all things around the Pac-12 conference. And John, before we even get to Arizona State and U of A and all that stuff, let's start with the Oregon Ducks. And today, Phil Knight should back up the truck and he should go to Mario's office and go knock, 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 knock and say, you know, Mario, I saw Miami of Florida the other night really struggle to win a game, and we don't want you to leave. So are we in a space after that win? Because everything else, to me, is not nearly as important as what Mario Cristobal did for Oregon and Pac-12 football on Saturday at Ohio State.
You know, I agree. I think that win offsets almost completely all the other results, and the rest of the results were bad. right? I mean, if Oregon had lost that game, it would have been Black Saturday for the conference. But because college football, now you're judged on how you do at the very top of your conference and whether you get into the playoff, that was a massive win for the league. I think it was the biggest win for the Pac-12 since ASU beat Nebraska in 96, early in the 96 season. Remember, 19-0?
Yep, sure I was there.
You were there. I'm sure you were. That was the Plummer Tillman team. That ASU win over Nebraska, the Huskers were back-to-back defending national champs. Mm-hmm. And it set ASU on that path to the Rose Bowl and being a top-five team the whole year. And the other thing that I think is key with that ASU game, but also in evaluating Oregon, is the state of the rest of the conference, right? The Pac-12, the reputation has been in tatters. It hasn't won a marquee game in years, hadn't been in the playoff in 5 years. And back when ASU beat Nebraska, that was 3 years after Washington won the national title. And those were three pretty barren years for the Pac-10. And so ASU not only, you know, supercharged its own season, but it raised everybody else up. And I think that that's what Oregon has done with this Ohio State victory. We'll see what comes of it. If the Ducks lose twice in conference play, they're probably not going to make the playoff, but they've at least kind of stuck the Pac-12 flag, you know, back on the national stage.
I couldn't help but think of Larry Scott seeing UCLA boat race LSU 1 week and Oregon winning at Ohio State and wondering, what's he thinking right about now?
Well, I think, first of all, there's a very good chance he wasn't watching either game because he's not really, you know, the guy's not really a college football fan, right? That was the case before he became the commissioner, and it may still be the case. The current commissioner, George Kliakoff, is a football fan. He would have watched those games even if he had still been in his old gig at MGM. So if we assume Larry Scott was watching, you know, he probably was pretty happy for the conference. But knowing him, is he doesn't believe he was, you know, responsible in any way for what was happening on the field. He said as much in an exit interview with the Associated Press. He put the problems, the football problems, on the schools and basically abdicated responsibility. So my guess is he didn't think he was the cause of the problem. So he's not really thinking deeply about it.
All right. We are going through it, chopping it up, as we do with John Wilner, all things with the Wilner Hotline. We'll just briefly bounce around a little bit. You know, I saw most of the Colorado game, played them hard, came up just a bit short. Washington, they're sitting here at 0-2. Who would have had that at the start of the year? What else? I mean, obviously USC, what an absolute disaster. And to see the Trojan guys, Matt Leiner, just blasting Clay Helton on Twitter. We're back in this 1 week. Will Clay Helton make it to the next week mode? What caught your eye in week two?
Well, certainly the USC-Stanford result, right? Stanford played well. You got to give them credit. But I think it was much more than just a 14-point loss for SC, right? They got blown off their own field. They weren't ready to play. They made dumb mistakes. They weren't physical enough, completely outcoached. Those are the kind of losses that if you're a Clay Helton and you're already kind of on the warm seat, that definitely takes the butane tank to it, right? I mean, I don't know if they're going to end up firing him, but he moved closer to getting dismissed with that performance, I think. What else caught my eye? You know, I think that Cal and Washington are both in interesting situations. They're 0-2, and now they're both playing FCS. Well, Washington's playing Arkansas State from the Sun Belt. Cal's playing Sac State. You know, neither of those is a pushover. Mm. And if either of those teams loses and they're 0-3, then they're in serious jeopardy of not even getting to a bowl game. And if you're the Huskies especially, that's a big deal. I think that, you know, Washington right now, in terms of like the internal stability, Washington right now is probably right behind SC in terms of things being a little shaky. Jimmy Lake's not going to lose his job, but they have got some big problems offensively. And a lot of it has to do with coaching, I think.
John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Let's focus then on Arizona State. I saw most of that game. It was a hard watch. That's the only way to put it. The U of A game was an even harder watch. I think for everything, all the buildup around the new era and getting the fans to show up and to have U of A absolutely get annihilated in boat race. And I'm hearing Yogi just trying to pull every story out of the I'm going to have to fill the last 2 hours and 45 minutes. Because, John, that game was over in the second quarter.
Yeah. I think it was over after the block punt in the first quarter. You know, if you're going to have a guy that needs to fill time, though, Yogi's pretty good. He's got good scores. So, you know, I mean, to me, the first quarter, it was reminiscent of the ASU game, right? I mean, it was just, you know, it's that Mike Tyson line, everybody's got to play until you get punched in the mouth. I mean, that San Diego State did that to Arizona right away. And I think – it was a huge reality check for the Wildcats, right? Jed Fish, you got to give him credit for doing a lot of things right in the community with the culture of the program. He's working hard on recruiting. He's mending relationships with high schools and high school coaches. He's trying to get the fans involved. But you can't – that can't happen, right? That cannot happen. And that tells you how far they got to go. And it also tells you that we don't know that he can do it. We don't know that he can do it. Maybe he can, and it's going to probably, fit out of fairness, take a few years to be for judgment. But we don't know that he can do it. And
you know, I'll jump in on you on this one, John. They have NAU this week, okay? And Chris Ball, who was here on Todd Graham's staff, is doing a really good job up there. He's got 60 in-state kids that have said, I'm not going to – I guess I'm not good enough, or I just don't want to go to U of A or go to ASU, so I'm going to have a chip on my shoulder. They're going to come down off the hill. And this is a game that in past, you should be playing your backups if you're Jed Fish by halftime. And if they can't get over on NAU, then we're really going to sit here and say, what is going on exactly?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're spot on. Well, I mean, even if they win that game, but they're, you know, it's neck and neck for three quarters. Right. I agree. Absolutely. You know, they lost, I don't know, multiple recruiting cycles under Kevin Sumlin, right? I mean, it was terrible. But the transfer portal, it gives you a chance to kind of recharge your depth chart quickly. But it will be a long, it looks like it's going to be a very long year. The question is going to be, can they get it rolling at all for next season? Right. But if you're an Arizona fan, you still got to be skeptical about the Fish era. There's no doubt.
Yeah. I thought Steve Kerr said it well. I don't know if you saw his line. Steve Kerr said, yeah, I gave the team the pregame pep talk. I guess I got to do a better job.
Yeah. It's all Kerr's fault.
It's all his fault.
I mean, how can you have Kirby or honorary captain play like that? Right. It's like, you know, it's insulting to the king of Tucson.
That's right. John Wilner with us, Wilner Hotline. Before I get you out of here, a couple other things. So I think one of the great national games this week, so Alabama, Florida, great national game. BYU has sat there. They get put into a new conference. It's not in the Pac-12. You wrote about it in depth, about them going over to the Big 12. And now they could win for the third week in a row, John, over a Pac-12 team. Herm Edwards' squad is going to Provo. I'm taking the show to Provo for a couple days. It's one of the great national games this week, I think.
I agree. You know, it's got a good spot, too. ESPN 730, that's actually – I know a lot of fans don't like night games, but that's a pretty – you know, that's an important spot for ESPN. I can't wait for it, frankly. A couple of thoughts real quick. One is, you know, it's – two levels up in competition for ASU, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see. You can get away with mistakes against UNLV and Southern Utah, and BYU will make you pay. BYU, we'll see if how they come back. It's a, you know, they just played their rivalry game, and they just beat their rival for the first time in a decade. So to the extent that they're going to party in Provo, they're partying in Provo, right? Now, the other thing that I think is interesting is, you know, what ASU needs is to win that game. And then they need BYU to keep winning, because the only way ASU's non-conference schedule gets any legitimacy is if BYU has a good season. Mm. So ASU, as soon as that game is over, they are BYU's biggest fan. But it's going to give us a real good look at the state of the South. The Pac-12 can't afford to lose another undefeated team, right? It's only at this point, it's ASU, it's Oregon, and it's UCLA. Three undefeated teams. The SEC's got like 10 undefeated teams right now. The Big Ten has got 7. Pac-12 needs its unbeatens to stay that way for a few more weeks.
And this is a week where if you just look at the conference in total, the UCLA-Fresno State game, really interesting to me. The rest of the schedule, not so great this week.
Not so great. And part of that's because, you know, most of the teams play their big game in week 2, the big non-conference game week two, and then they've got more of a cream puff type to get ready for league play. The one other game, and I agree with you, Fresno, that'll be interesting, especially with the Bruins coming off a bye. The one other game that strikes me, though, is USC Washington State, right? Just because of the current state of the Trojan program, and now they're going up there. And another, you know, at this point, every loss for SC is going to be a big deal because of Helton's status and because of what might happen to the conference if Helton gets fired and how that could have a huge impact on everybody.
Well, and also Washington State's coach is not on the thickest of ice either. Right?
No, he is not.
Right.
He's not. There's no doubt about that. He's got his own problems, especially off the field. But they cannot have four. If he has a bad season, he could end up getting fired because of the vaccine situation.
That is John Wilner, the Wilner Hotline, all things around the Pac-12. John, thanks.
Thanks a ton, Brad. It's great doing it.
There's John Wilner. We're back with more after this timeout.